This is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Now, Ben Jones played the character of Cooter on the very popular show The Dukes of Hazzard, and part of that was filmed right here in Georgia. He's also a former Democratic congressman. And through his Facebook page, Jones said that though the flag has been removed from such places as Walmart, Target, and Amazon, it will never be removed from any of our Cooter stores and museums. We're all the same good people today that we were last week and last year, and we're not going to be shamed into turning our backs on our heritage and our convictions. We want to replay an interview we had with Ben Jones.
I'm not going to change anything. I'm still the same person I was last year, 10 years ago, and I'll be like that next week. I'm not going to change anything because of this hysteria of, you know, cultural cleansing and political correctness. You know, I've always fought for civil rights for everybody, and I'll continue to do that also too. But I'm not a bigot. That flag does not represent that to me. I know it's been used by those fools and those hateful people. I fought against them. I mean, physically fought against them during the civil rights movement. And I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of the South and how far we've come. And I think this is a very divisive thing. And I don't think this builds bridges like Dr. King hoped for. We have to understand that there are positive uses of this flag, and it has been co-opted and appropriated by racists. So is the American flag. So is the Christian cross. I think that my black friends, like everybody else, can see this in the context and can separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's former Georgia congressman, former Democratic congressman Ben Jones, who played Cooter on The Dukes of Hazzard. And he was talking about why he will continue to carry some of that Confederate Battle Cross merchandise in some of his businesses now, the Cooter's stores and museums. Joining us now on A Closer Look is the man who engineered that change from the 1956 Battle Cross flag, former Governor Roy Barnes. Governor, thank you for coming by and making the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You heard Ben Jones just a moment ago. He said he didn't think that there, he felt that the Battle Cross flag had been co-opted by people and that there was nothing inherently wrong with it. Obviously, you felt differently when you made the decision to push for a change in the flag back in 2001. Why?
Well, of course, Ben is speaking from a personal merchant's view, and he can do, you know, he can have his views on that and sell merchandise and such, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a big difference between that and making a symbol of rebellion and the preservation of slavery an official part of state government. And that's where I draw the line. It's where I drew the line in 2001. I don't think it's appropriate for the Confederate battle flag to be two-thirds, as it was, or three-fourths of the Georgia flag. It's not two-thirds or three-fourths of our history. And it was put in not in 1865, but in 1956 in response to the decision to integrate the public schools by the Supreme Court. And in fact, if you look at the legislation that was passed in that year, you'll find bills authorizing the closing of the public school to prevent integration, to forfeiting the pension of any police officer that enforced integration. And so the history was very clear to me, and it should not be a part of the Georgia flag.
But now the question becomes, what do we do since we have settled the flag debate here some years ago? What about the rest of the symbols of the Confederacy, everything from the Sons of Confederate Veterans license plate that Governor Deal wants to redesign, all the way to monuments, memorials, plaques, and so forth? Is there a, should all of those be retired to history, or is there some sort of dividing line here?
I think that this is all context. Should all memorials, Confederate cemeteries, other things like that be done away with? No. And it is an appropriate, even though it may have been wrong at the time, we admire their valor, not the cause for which they fought. It is appropriate for the state to have, just like any other historical event, to have that in the as a historical reference. but not to the exclusion of all the other parts of our history. February 12th, 1733 was the day that Georgia was founded. That was a pretty important day. We don't have a state holiday on that day, but we do for Confederate Memorial Day, and I just think that that is emphasizing one part of history more than another. But museums, Confederate cemeteries as part of the context of the wars, okay, but not as official symbols of this is our history and this is all there is to it.
Governor Barnes, you are from Mapleton, Georgia. You're a proud graduate of South Cobb High School. You're a Georgia guy.
Yeah.
And so for someone listening that says, well, you of all people should understand how important heritage is to us and being able to separate what's heritage and what emblem symbolizes heritage. What do you say to those people who say, if we're going to remove all of this, then you're taking away our heritage?
Well, that's just not true. What we're saying is we're not going to allow you to emphasize as an arm of the state of Georgia or of any other government one part of your heritage above another. We're going to balance it, and we're going to say that those that say it was part of heritage and it's never used as hate, I'll just be quite frank with you. If you look at every civil rights opposition, it always has the Confederate battle flag front and center. And so to say that it's not a symbol against civil rights, it's not a symbol against hate and racism, it's just simply not true. Nobody with any type of reasoned opposition. And listen, I was raised in the South. Mm-hmm. I was in high school before I found out the South didn't win the war. And we were all shocked about it, that they didn't actually win the Civil War. But, education and experiences show you that there were wrong things done here, and rebellion of the state of Georgia and the Confederacy against the United States government, especially for the preservation of slavery, is wrong. And I hear these, and I read, I don't get in arguments with them anymore, but I read all the, oh, this was not about slavery. I said, this was about states' rights. Yeah, it was right, states' rights to have slaves. And it was also, it was about the tariffs. I've read those ordinances of secession. I've never seen one time in any of those ordinances of secession where it says, we're seceding for the Union because we're tired of those high tariffs that the government's put on. It's always about slavery. And, this has been 150 years. We need to move past this. This is just wrong. It was a bad part of our history. It took us 100 years to recover our tax digest from what it was in 1860 to 1960. And that's not even adjusting for inflation. I'm just talking about in flat dollars. And because we were so devastated by it, and we brought it on ourselves. Everybody said, we defended ourselves against invasion. Well, we were the ones that fired the first shot over there at Fort Sumter. Sure. And told them that we were going to take over. We took over Fort Pulaski and all that other stuff. We were rebelling against the United States. And how different would it have been if all the slaves had risen up and says, we're going to form another government? Well, this same crowd that says that it was not fought over slavery would be saying, we need to crush these crowds.
What's your response to someone who says, well, what's next? We have schools here in the area named after Confederate generals. We have streets, some that are left, named after Confederate generals. And your reaction to someone to say, this is really an attack on the South, the Confederates, they lost the war, whatever, but what's your reaction to, okay, what's next? What next are you going to take away that deals with the South or the Confederate troops?
Well, it's context and balance.
Sure.
I see nothing wrong with having a Martin Luther King Drive, Junior Drive, and a Confederate Avenue. But they shouldn't all be Confederate Avenues. It's all part of balance. And what I see from those that, you know, hold this Confederate flag, they want this to be our only history. And the truth of the matter, if you study the history, you know, the Georgia was not a hotbed of secession. It was the first vote, my recollection was 130 to 165. And so just a little change would have made a difference. And then later there were 40 or 50 in the final vote that wouldn't vote for it. And in North Georgia, for example, there were as many that fought for the Union as there were for the Confederacy. And Georgia was not a hotbed. And so they're trying to take one view of history, and it is the only view of history. It's not.
Okay.
Let's take a look at slavery for a moment, because you mentioned that you felt that that's really what it was about. And
sure.
There was, and during your time as governor and in subsequent administrations, there have been efforts. Representative Al Williams, who's from down near Savannah, mm-hmm. for a long time was putting forth measures to have the state government apologize for its role in slavery. Those measures never got as far as the governor's office. Would you have signed one of those?
I probably would have. I'm a Methodist, and the Methodist Church split in 1847, but the Methodist Church was very anti-slavery. And if you recall, in the charter that created Georgia, slavery was prohibited. Slavery was not allowed in Georgia until we became a royal colony in 1752. So, the state should not have been involved in that. I don't put it quite to the, on the pecking orders I do of a flag flying today. But I don't think that there's any way that you can't say that slavery was wrong and the state of Georgia, through its police powers, enforced slavery. And it was wrong.
We're speaking with former Georgia Governor Roy Barnes. Governor, we've been talking a lot in this conversation and throughout the last few days about symbols, mm-hmm. flags, monuments, plaques, license tags, all that sort of thing. What would you say to somebody who says, look, all of this is really a distraction? It's a way to, if we remove a Confederate flag, make us feel good without addressing the more fundamental problem of racism in the society?
Well, I would say to them that they're all tied together. It's difficult for me to see how you could have a reasoned discussion of race and then say, but I'm for putting a Confederate battle flag on your official flag in a prominent position. Yes, it's broader than that. And a lot of racism is much more broad today and much more subtle. And I don't mind mentioning some. I mean, we've gone through in the last few years about voter ID. Even they said, well, we've got to stop these folks from having fraudulent votes. Now, what they mean is we've got to stop blacks and Hispanics from having fraudulent votes. Well, the Washington Post did a study over a 10-year period and over 1 billion votes cast throughout the nation, and they could only find 31 instances out of 1 billion that there were fraudulent votes cast. And in Georgia, the testimony was there hadn't been one in like 10 years. Most of the fraud occurs through absentee, and absentee, you don't have to have a voter ID to get an absentee. And the reason is because one party votes more in a absentee than the other. And then, so you go into that, and then you go in and you say, well, we got to do away with these welfare queens driving Cadillacs. They don't ever have in their context, in their mind, that's a white welfare queen. It's always black. Even though in food stamps nationwide, whites get 62%, and it's true in Georgia, of the food stamps, blacks do not get a disproportionate share of food stamps from their population. Medicaid, the biggest welfare program we have is Medicaid, and 80% of that goes to nursing homes in Georgia, and most of that is because white folks don't want to take care of mom and daddy, and they won't put them in a nursing home. So is there a place to have a broader discussion of race? Yes, it is. But, you know, we don't ever want to happen to have that discussion until a kid waving a Confederate flag goes in and kills 9 people while they're praying.
Governor Barnes, when you say we never want to have that conversation, and, you know, African Americans, people of color, people from underserved communities have long been trying to have a lot of conversations as it relates to race. But lawmakers have a responsibility in this as well, and you know you've been in that process. So what's the message into lawmakers to look at not only just a hate law crime, but also these other tentacles as it relates to race and dealing with people from underserved communities or people of color? Lawmakers have a huge role in here, and one could argue that Georgia lawmakers, which is heavily Republican, have not done that. There hasn't been a cohesive collaboration. That's for both parties.
Yeah. Oh, I think that disregard is probably pretty wide, more than Georgia.
But we're talking about Georgia.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Yeah.
But there is a responsibility. One is, you know, I always, and there's other. I mean, I think that a lot of urban lawmakers have no idea what rural parts of the states are about. I said the best thing that could happen is we take all those urban lawmakers on a bus and take them around the state to show them really what is around this state. And also they have a responsibility to become uncomfortable, go to places that they're not comfortable with. Listen, I've been to every place on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really enjoyable. But so many of legislators have no idea about African Americans, for example, or Hispanics, for example. And they have a stereotype of African Americans. They think that African Americans are a monolith. And they are not. You know, there's different classes and levels, and there's different beliefs and everything else. And what would be shocking to some of those very conservative legislators are that African Americans in Georgia are conservative. I've had them on juries. I can tell you this stereotype where they'll turn anybody loose on a criminal case. Let me tell you something. You put an African American jury in a box, they're going to convict him unless there is a real good case on the other side, because they're victims of the crime.
People's mindsets, and you know, because you're from Georgia, that there's a mindset, and whether it's fair or not, that's attributed to the mindset of the white Southerner.
Oh, yeah.
Which may or may not be fair, but when something like this happens and you hear the same sort of philosophies and ideologies about race from whether it's a white Southerner or an African-American Southerner, one would say nothing's really changed. You have to change people's mindset.
Yeah, and listen,
particularly with the ones that are making the laws.
I know. And there are some stereotypes that African-Americans have about whites. I've seen it over the years.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, I told a political commentator one time, a Southern political commentator, when I ran for governor last time, you know, I've been beaten more times than old Ruggs. And Thurbert Baker was running.
Mm-hmm.
And all these prognosticators says, well, Thurbert Baker's black, and you're going to get beat by him because they're the Democratic primary is heavily tilted toward African Americans. I said, why would that happen? I said, listen, blacks are much more accustomed to voting for white candidates than you, a white person, voting for a black candidate. And it turned out to be true. I got 67% of the vote against all of the—it didn't even have a runoff. And so, I mean, these stereotypes, I mean, you know, it beats anything I've ever seen. Now, I'm an optimist, and I believe things are getting better very slowly. And I think familiarity in youth is one of the high points we have to look for. I have 6 grandchildren, Mary and I do. They go to a public majority-minority school. They do not see the difference in black and white. They don't see the difference in anybody. I mean, you know, One of my granddaughters was having a conversation with a mother about where babies come from.
Uh-oh.
And she was 8 years old and all this, you know. And so, and she's got this little friend, I can't remember her name, but she's from Ethiopia, who's adopted by a white couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so my granddaughter asked, my daughter says, well, aren't some children chosen rather than born? Yes, they are. It says, you know, your friend called it. It says, you know, she's adopted. Well, even though the child was black and the parents were white, my granddaughter argued with her mother. Says, no, no, she's not adopted. She didn't see black or white. She thought she was, you know, just a child.
And one can make the case that's because also she has not been taught about any negative.
Well, that's true too.
You know,
that's
not
true.
Not every.
I know. Yeah. I know. But listen, I have a typical Southern upbringing, as I said earlier. But education and life experiences and a little white hair, if you will allow yourself to take in and see and experience other things, it changes a lot of things. If you had told me when I was a kid growing up, or even when I started in politics, that I was going to be hailed as some kind of civil rights, leader or anything, I told you you're crazy. But it's experience, it's education, it's life experiences.
You mentioned elections. You mentioned elections winning and losing. You've heard this question before, but looking back on it, do you think that what you did with the state flag cost you the 2002 election to Sonny Perdue?
Yes, I do. And everybody said, well, you got the teachers mad. Well, over the last 8
you
or 10...
You did get the teachers
you did
mad.
Get mad.
I understand. But over the last 8 or 10 years, they've been mad, too. No raises, increasing their class sizes and all that. And there's been no incumbent governor kicked out before. There really isn't any organized effort on behalf of teachers. So I don't think there was a change. You know, there were other factors. You had a change in demographic that was favorable to Republicans at the time. Now, that's not true anymore. I mean, we're having a changing demographic back the other way. But I knew that was coming.
Real quickly, just as a final thought, Governor Perdue eventually changed the flag again, but in the process removed all traces of the Confederate battle cross. Did that surprise you at all? You've represented him recently. You
yes.
had a chance to talk to him.
Well, we don't talk politics that much, but I will say this. When it came down to it, he did the right thing. I mean, you know, I think it would have been very divisive to the state to have put that Confederate battle flag back out there, because it would have allowed sound bites and everything else to control the election. And I didn't really care what kind of flag they had, as long as it was not dominated by the Confederate battle flag.
And on your portrait in the Capitol, right behind you, very prominently is that blue 2001 flag.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that was deliberate.
It
and
was.
That you were sending a message. What was it?
And the message was, this was a big battle during the time I was governor, and I think I did the think then, and I think now, I did the right thing. And even if I had to do it over again, knowing it would cost me the 2002 election, I'd do it again.
As we wrap up, Governor Barnes, you're an attorney, so I want to get your thoughts on the upcoming expected rulings from the Supreme Court as it relates to gay marriage and, of course, the subsidies with the Obamacare. What are your thoughts? Where do you think it's going to get?
I think they're both probably going to be 5-4 decisions or 4-4-1 decisions. I think that the subsidies are going to be upheld. And
really?
Yeah, you know, Supreme Court reads newspapers, and they know to throw all these people off would be devastating to small hospitals and to physicians. On the gay marriage, I think that the Supreme Court is there. They've been signaling that a long time, and I think the only question there is what are the contours of the decision?
All right. Governor Roy Barnes, former Governor Roy Barnes, thanks for coming in and taking the time. Real quickly, I got to ask you, you said you're a Southern guy. Okay, here we go. Arnold Palmer, sweet tea or unsweetened? What goes in it? Come on now.
Yeah, I like sweet tea, but as my belly shows, I've had too much of it, so I've started putting a little sweet and low in it.
There was a bill years ago, I think it was when you were governor, to make sweet tea the official like state beverage, and establishments had to at least offer it.
Sweet tea, I remember all that. It's a good example
of some of the... Would you have vetoed that? It never went anywhere.
It was a good example of some of the foolishness that goes on.
Former Governor Roy Barnes, thank you so much for taking the time,
for coming in
on short notice, and we really appreciate it.